This is Philip Sapp. Philip is fast becoming one of our producers here of the Panoramic Bible Studies. You know, he's working on that, right, Philip?
Yes, sir.
And how are you coming?
Well, with the Lord's help, coming along.
That's the way we all are, right?
Yes, sir. It's a pretty heavy learning curve, and I've just been praying for. And the Lord's given me an anointing to get up to speed pretty quick on things. And before I started helping with the music and things like that with the ministry, I didn't have an email until about 3 years ago. And so I didn't know anything about computers. And so the Lord worked it out where there was a computer scientist, engineer that moved right in next door to me. So I had a perfect tutor. And so the Lord just dumped a lot of computer stuff in my head. But it's all been because there was a need for the brethren to do something with a computer. So that's been a real blessing. And I'm really... just honored that the Lord would even allow me to do anything for Him, and you know, who are we that He's mindful of us? And I'm just really thankful for anything that I can do for the Lord.
Amen. Philip's our music minister, and he's probably going to play some for us tonight. He's got his guitar set up here, so.
Yes, sir. I hope that'll be a blessing for me, and I hope for the brethren out there just to play a few songs and just worship the Lord. We can all worship the Lord together and just get our minds on the Lord. But I wanted to, I've never really shared my testimony, and I just wanted to since I've been out here this trip, you know, I've just really been just overjoyed to just really feel the joy of the Lord, and so I'm just really thankful for that, and just the brethren, how they received us, and you know, just love through UBM, all the brothers and sisters out there. It's just I'm just really thankful to be so far away from where the Lord found me and what He's brought me, just closer to Him, and just continue to draw me close to His side. And I'm just really thankful for that. And I just felt I wanted to share how the Lord saved me, and so. I'm going to try to condense it. I'll try to make it as short as possible, but I just wanted to give the Lord glory and honor, and just encourage any brothers and sisters out there that may have family members that they're waiting for, family members that you're holding on to and praying for, where you don't see any hope, or you don't I just know it's going to be an encouragement to you, because I was far gone. And the Lord surely pulled me out right there at the gates of hell, pulled me right away from there. And I just want to start back when I came to the Lord. Well, I mean, He drew me, and my life had become just a total shambles. I grew up a Christian and going to church and praying and. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I was very rebellious, and I got into rock and roll music and drinking, and just everything, you know, that draws you away from God was right there, and I partook in it, and it surely got me away from God. Well, I'd gotten married, and tried to get right with the Lord. For that, and still got back into drugs, playing in bands. I used to tour, play colleges and different bars and things like that. And where I'm from in Alabama, and then divorce came in, and my wife at that time had left and took my son, and. It was a big wake up call, and the Lord just revealed to me how that I had allowed Satan to come in and totally destroy my marriage, take my son, and it was my fault, you know, and so just quickly motivated me to get right with the Lord, And but you know, it takes a big sledgehammer for us a lot of times, you know, to get right with the Lord. And that surely was my family and everything was, family life was destroyed. And so I started seeking the Lord, and I would just read the Bible, and I would see, well, these folks kept the Sabbath, so I need to do that, or they don't eat pork. You know, I didn't have an understanding of the Spirit, the letter in the Spirit, and so I was just trying to do anything that I saw in there in the Bible that said to do. I said, well, I need to do that, and so I got hooked up with a church down here in Mobile, and it was a Sabbath-keeping church, feast days. If you didn't eat meats, you know, the right kind of meats, you're going to hell. If you didn't have the kind of right kind of Bible, you were going to hell. Very legalistic. And I used to listen to this Brother Stair, which I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about, Brother Stair. And he had this guest on. It was David Eales, which they're totally opposite ends of the spectrum as far as their ministry and what they teach. And so it was just a miracle that he would have even had David on there at that time for me to listen to. And Brother David, he shared the revelation that the Lord's given him about the cast of characters being multiplied. And it just spoke to my spirit. It articulated in my mind what my spirit had been feeling, but I didn't know how to put to words. And it just exploded, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. And Brother David had shared that he was from Pensacola. Well, I had decided, well, I'm just going to, after my Saturday meeting that I have, I'm going to go over there and visit. Well, I did do that. I just showed up here and went to a gas station, looked in the phone book, found David Eales, and Mary answered the phone and said, yeah, we're having a Bible study. Come on over. So David was, I know we could discern, you know, that this kid's very legalistic and all these things, but just how, just the spirit of grace that was shown to me, and now I look back on it and just how that the Lord had me in the right place for someone to encourage me and somebody that was being weak to the weak, and so I just started getting tapes from David and coming over and visiting when I could, and so that was a real blessing. I tried to get people to come over to hear the message and to get the deliverance that the Lord had given me of this legalistic demon, and it wasn't received. And so the people I fellowshiped with, I was shortly persecuted, of course, and said that I was, you know, going, I was believing, you know, the devil, and the devil was teaching me these things, and because of the divorce that I was in and things like that, I was in a real financial bind, and it got to where if I could have kept coming down here, but I would have had to have moved down here, and just to be honest, I didn't stay crucified. The Lord was giving me an opportunity to be totally crucified. To let go of my family, to let go of everything that would have caused me to fulfill that part of Christ in me. And I got fearful and just got really discouraged and just gave up at that time. And I backslid and I just tried to forget the call of God on my life. I was so hurt that he didn't do what I thought he was supposed to do, like bring my family back together, bring me my kid, and I was just really angry with God, and so he had to let me get a whooping, to beat a lot of that legalistic stuff out of me, and so I'm very thankful that everything that I've gone through. Because it's taught me, you know, it's who I am now in Christ, and so I got back into drugs, I got back into rock and roll music, playing in clubs, trying to satisfy my flesh with every fleshly desire, and it was really because I would not submit to God, I would not submit to the cross, I wouldn't submit to the cross of letting everything go and just being totally hurt. You know, I didn't want to be hurt. but I was trying to, you know, put things in my body or do things with my flesh to not feel that hurt, but it just made it grow and grow and grow and grow. And I got so strung out that I couldn't work. All I could do was just maybe work a few hours a week, maybe to get some money for some pot or some acid or something like that. And that's just what I did. And so one night I was at the house that I lived in Birmingham, and I was just really fed up. I was just about to kill myself, and I was going to hang myself, and the Lord put me to sleep. And I just remember waking up the next morning, and then there was this guy that came to my house, this hippie guy that I would do drugs with and things, and he said, "Hey, there's a rainbow gathering going on in a national forest by our house, and why don't you come?" I was like, "Okay, great. I just wanted to get out of the city. I really, in my heart, I wanted to get back to the Lord, but the only gospel I knew was a condemnation type gospel. I didn't know the real good news, and so I went out to the woods. And I don't know if any of you people listening by radio or on the internet, you know, there's a lot of runaways. There are a lot of people that." You go to these gatherings, they're called rainbow gatherings, and it's a cult is what it is, and but thousands of kids that are homeless kids that are on the streets that are hurting, that have been, you know, outed by their families, you know, I met these people that have been burnt in church. I mean, I met hundreds of kids that were so turned off by Christianity because of the corruption that they would see in the churches. You know, I mean, a lot of homeless people, you know, they know exactly what's going on. You know, they don't want to be a part of that mess. You know, and so I went out and tried to be a part of this group. Well, lots of drugs going on out there, a lot of witchcraft. I never was a part of witchcraft or things like that. I always felt like, you know, I was a Christian. I wanted to be close to God, even though that I had become a slave to sin and a slave to addictions and things like that. I always wanted to get back to God. There are different groups of people that follow these kids around to national forests, and some of them are Christian, and God puts them there to be a light in those places, to feed them, to clothe them, to encourage them, to pray for them. They don't even know they're being prayed for. They don't even know, you know, what these people that are there doing spiritual warfare, because every kind of religion's accepted, Satanism, you know, they're just doing it in the open. They're not in the walls of their house hiding with it. You know, they're out in the open doing it. Well, I went to this gathering and just was so very depressed. I would just cry every day. There were two old people there in these white buses, and they were from South Africa, and I didn't know who they were, but they had a kitchen set up. It was like a kitchen set up in the middle of the woods, and they were just feeding all of these hippie kids, all these hippies. And I looked up in their bus, and they had like a sign that said Jesus on it. And I thought, man, these are some weirdos. This is some kind of weird hippie cult out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, preaching love and all this kind of stuff, and this is some weird stuff going on out here, even in that state that I was in, and so then that was one day, and then the next day, this old man, his name's Grandpa, his name's Ernest Gristle, Ernest and Louetta Gristle, and I just want to bless them in Jesus' name, but the old man came out and he says, what are you doing out here, Jonah? And and immediately I just broke down and started crying, and I was like, what are you talking about? How do you know anything about me? And he was like, well, you're running from the Lord, aren't you? And so I just started sharing what had happened to me and where I was at, and confessed those things, and I just said, the Lord's not going to accept me. I'm smoking pot and doing drugs. I mean, there's no way I can get back to the Lord. And he shared the real gospel with me, is that hey, you've got a desire to be close to the Lord. You just repent, come to Him. He's going to take those desires away from you. And the gospel that I'd been taught, to that legalism, was that you better get straightened up or you're going to get squished like a bug. You know what I'm saying? But he shared the real good news with me. Just, hey, you just come as you are. And Jesus, He'll take those desires away from you. When He's ready for it to go, He's going to take it away. And so I was just very encouraged. They gave me a Bible. I was out there in the woods, camping out in the woods with a bunch of pagans, and I was right there with them, but I was started praying again, started reading my Bible, started confessing things that I wanted out of my life, and so I did that for, I guess, about 3 months, and I started traveling with these people and encouraging other people, because sort of similar, it's like Brother Gerard was talking about, these people out there drinking beer with their 12-pack of beer, but they got their Bibles, they're out there talking about the Lord, and there's different levels. We can be kind of lofty sometimes and judge where, you don't know what the Lord's doing there. And so there I was. There were several people that I met when I was out there that were really trying to get to the Lord, really wanted holiness, really wanted that. But it's a gift of God, and so the Lord started, working on me out there, and I still smoking pot, I was still smoking cigarettes, I was still doing drugs, still being rebellious and things like that, but I was reading my Bible and I was praying and I was asking God to change me, even though I was still oppressed demonically with these addictions and things. And so I traveled with these people. We ended up going to another camp up in North Carolina. And as you travel in this rainbow group, you go from forest to forest all over the nation. And when you get to a new place, there's going to be new people that you meet that come from other parts of the country that are joining this particular gathering, and so there were new people there, and so I just quickly made new friends, and there were a group of people that really started befriending me there, and which when you're alone and we all like people to like us, and so I thought these people were, my friends, but I was very naive but still seeking the Lord. Well, one night, we'd been doing a bunch of drugs and everything, and one of the main guys that was a part of their group, really had started befriending me and, just invited me to, come on a hike with him, and we started hiking through the woods, and, we got to this place in the woods where the woods opened up, and it was a huge circle in the woods, and there were about 30 people in a circle in this place in the woods, and there were two spots for me and him, and so we sat down, and they all looked at him and looked at me, and then he looked at me and just said, hey, come on, let's go. And I'd seen a lot of weird stuff out there, and this was certainly strange, but it was, I surely didn't have very good discernment, that's for sure, but I just said, okay, so I didn't even really think anything of it. We go hiking a little bit more in the woods, we get to another spot in the woods where there's an opening, and then there's about 20 people in this circle. There's still two places there for him and for me, and so we sit down, and they all look at him, then they all look at me, and so then he says, "Hey, come on." So at this time, I was like, what's going on here? You know, this is like I wouldn't have been thinking that for the 30 people circle, what was going on, but it was just the state that I was in. But we get to another opening in the woods, and there's a group of 10 people in this group, and there were two places for he and I to sit. And so I sat down, and they all looked at him, they all looked at me. And so one of them, now in the group of 30 and the group of 20, I didn't recognize any of those people. We had been in this particular area for about 2 months. And when you're at a gathering, you meet a lot of people. And so you, even if you don't talk to people, you know people because you're out in the same woods camping. Those two groups, those two first circles, I'd never seen those people in those groups. Well, the third group of 10, I knew people. I recognized people that were in that group. Well, one of the guys stood up and started talking about Jesus. And started talking, I mean, just very, very ungodly things about Jesus. Then another guy stood up and started saying just ungodly things. And it just kept going until it got around to me. And there I was, strung out on drugs. And it got to me, you know. And so I was, even in that state, I was not a part of that. I wasn't going to say those things that they had said. And I said, why are you guys talking like this? This is, we could be hanging out or, you know, figuring out how to save the world or, you know, just love, peace, and all this kind of stuff. And this was really brutal stuff that they were talking about. And so one of the guys, you know, I said, I don't talk about Jesus like that. And one of the guys stood up and said, you know what, we don't like people that like Jesus. And even in that state, the there was just a boldness came up in me and said, well, light and darkness don't fellowship together, and I'm not walking with you guys anymore. And so another guy stood up and said, well, you know what, you might be walking down the road and then a cop pick you up and you end up dead on the side of the street. And when that guy said that, in this group, in this woods, out from that was in the woods, there was a police officer that came from the outskirts of the woods up to this circle. And so the boldness of the Lord rose up in me again, even where I was at. And I said, your God can only do what my God allows. And I turned around to the guy that had befriended me, and the Lord allowed me to see in the spirit. And there was this guy that had just appeared like an angel of light. There was all this light coming from him. And then I turned around and looked at the circle, the group, and I could see demons on every one of the people, and they looked like dogs. They were just like plastered. Their faces didn't change. I could see their face, but I could see the demon on them, on each one of them, where they had blood and flesh on their teeth, but they had this chain around their neck, and it was being held back, and they were trying to do this. And I started walking off, and I was on drugs, but I'm just telling you that the Lord allowed me to see those things. It wasn't because of drugs. It was because of the Lord. And the Lord, immediately, as quick as I'd had the boldness to stand up for the Lord in that state, as soon as I walked off from that group, that boldness left. And the Lord it was real. It was like it was a vision, but it was real. Everything immediately got foggy. It got bright, and I immediately had fear like I'd never had before. I had loneliness like I had never had before, and I was crying out to the Lord. I was just crying out for help. I was repenting, but I knew that God couldn't hear me somehow. And the Lord took me. It was about a 6 to 8 hour vision of hell, of an aspect of hell, I would say. I wasn't being physically tormented and burnt, but I had experienced grace being taken off my life, where I was not experiencing the grace of God. I could see the Lord was above me. It was just light, and I knew that that was God. But I knew he could not see me. I knew that he could not hear me. And it was just the most just torturous. I can't really explain it into words how torturous and agonizing it was to think about being lost or just you're found in that state for eternity. The Lord allowed me to see that, and that's what he had to do to me to get me to. So I'm really thankful. I hope you don't have to go through something like that. But it was about 6 to 8 hours of this vision of totally being, of feeling grace removed from my life. I just can't really describe that. And I found my way back to my camp, and I had drugs. I immediately threw the drugs away, cigarettes away. I repented. But I was, from that experience, and when I, after that experience, one day I was totally strung out on drugs. The next day I was totally healed, just like that. I never had a desire to do drugs again, never smoked another joint, never took acid, never had that desire. But from that one experience, God gave me such a hatred for sin. I'm not saying I'm perfect, you know, but I'm saying that those things he instilled that how he feels about sin. And so it was a total transformation. One day I was doing it, the next day I wasn't. And so, you know, I praise God for that, because you know, there's a lot of folks out there in these rehabs and, you know, and things like that. And Jesus, all he needs is us to give it up, and he can do it. And
amen.
And that's what he did for me. And he immediately put it on my heart to share this testimony with these other kids in Rainbow and other homeless people. Because it's not a big problem for God. Because if he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And he also allowed me in that vision. You know, I thought, you know, I know why he showed me that thing, because he was waking me up. I mean, to the point where, you know, I had been out there in the woods for about 3 months, and coming to that place, you know, where I was coming to the Lord, but I kept on doing my thing. I was trying to get close to the Lord, and so he drove me to that very pinnacle of, okay, well, here's your choice, you know, here it is. It's either Satanism. That's what these guys were. They were Satanists, and it ended up that they were part of a drug family trying to initiate me into their drug family to be what they call as a mule, and that's where they take transient people, get them hooked on drugs, or give them free drugs to backpack drugs across the country. And there's Satanist organizations that do that. And so the Lord got me to that place where it was either Satan or him. And then removing the grace, you know, he allowed me to see, you know, that's what's coming on the earth, you know, real soon. When the grace is removed, and it gave me a compassion and an urgency to reach people that maybe the so-called church, not the real church, but the false church, you know, that they look down on. You know, there's lots of testimonies from people out there and those homeless people that, you know, they'll sit on church steps or something. The people come out and say, "Get out of here." Or, you know, there's lots of things that I heard like that and just abuses like that. But the Lord allowed me to see how grace, that everybody is experiencing the grace of God, even people that are rejecting Him right now. The whole world is experiencing God's love. The whole world is experiencing the grace of God. And they reject Him. And they deny it. They don't even know it. And that's what the Lord showed me. I was experiencing God's grace, even in my sin, when He removed it. I was woken. And He just showed me that's, you know, when grace is removed, that's why people are going to curse Him, you know, because that's how they're going to immediately know, oh, that was real. That was real. That was God. That was God. And so I'm just really thankful. And I just give my life to the Lord. I just want Him to, you know, make me a vessel of honor. And all through that, I ended up staying in North Carolina with a Christian family. The Lord immediately had somebody come in and pull me out of that situation after that one day. There was a Christian family I could go to, and I called my mom and just told her, you know, hey, I've given my life to the Lord. I'm not on drugs anymore. Would you mail me those tapes of David? And I just started eating it up again and just really praising the Lord and just thanking God for truth and just not allowing me to, not allowing Satan to take my life. And so I just thank the Lord for Brother David and his faithfulness and just thank the Lord for Jesus in him. And I was delivered from so many things, from a legalistic spirit and from addictions and rejection and death. And I'm just very thankful for those things and just want to give God all the glory and want to encourage the brethren out there that you have family members that you're praying for. You don't see any hope, you know. You're the hope, you know. You just keep praying for your loved ones and thanking the Lord that He's finished it and thank the Lord that He's done it. Because you're the hope. You're their hope. And so that's just a condensed version of that. But I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I just thank the Father for the Son and His Son and just the shed blood of Jesus Christ and just want to just bless the saints out there. Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. Thank you, Philip. That was a good testimony. And anybody else out there, you know, that may be going through something similar, just invite the Lord. Take over your life, you know. Never mind accepting Jesus, you know. Repent and believe the Word of God, and He will do the rest, right? Praise God. All right, Michael Weber. So many of you know Michael Weber. He's been sending out CDs and DVDs for quite a long time now, and he's been a great help to many of you. God bless him.
Well, thank you, David. It's a truly a blessing to be out here. I wanted to just share something. I won't really go tonight into my testimony. If I did everything, it probably would take the rest of the time up. So I'll just quickly, it's interesting when I was listening to Philip's testimony. I've heard it before, and it's always a blessing to hear it. But one thing that I can really see is that there are a lot of you know, similarities when you really look at people's testimonies. I mean, there's obviously differences, but I mean, there's some of those core things, just, you know, being brought to the Lord and then going through that time of when you're learning what the word really means and putting it into your heart and growing and the Lord bringing you into things and out of things and just kind of just what he's doing there. I just had a really similar kind of testimony. I came to the Lord and really started to get into legalism, and I think he showed me a lot of that because of that I needed to really understand the types and shadows. When you look at the Old Testament and you see that was just a type and shadow of the, you know, the New Testament, what the better covenant with the better promises that were given, and I had to go through that. I had to understand that, and the Lord put that in me to desire to really seek that out and to learn that. You know, I was one of those that kept the Sabbath and tried to, you know, to do all those things. I was even out there, you know, on Friday looking for that first star. I was even doing all the things that I saw in the Bible, what it said. But, you know, the Lord had mercy and grace on me, and I was learning. And, you know, and then I went through that period where, you know, I really didn't understand what it meant to have the Lord as your Lord, as your, you know, your friend, as your, you know, just... I didn't understand that. I to me, the Lord was someone to be reverenced and to look at as being holy, but that he was kind of ready just to smack me down if I got out of line. And for a while that worked. That fear of the Lord brought me there, but eventually I didn't go to him, I know, in a way that I should have, which is like a father, which is like someone that you have a close relationship with and that you talk to just like you're talking to your earthly father, like, or as you would talk to your best friend or your, you know, your mother or whoever, someone that is just loves you and you love them. And I needed that, but I didn't quite understand that. And I know I had a period there where I really fell away. I got into, there were some things in my flesh that would, you know, never got dealt with, but anyway, I don't look at that stuff, and I thank the Lord, I praise Him that's done away with. That He saw the end from the beginning, for His great mercy and grace on me, and I praise Him for that. But you know, I did have to go through all those things, and it was rough, you know, and it brought a lot of condemnation, a lot of things on me that. That, you know, I had to fight and battle through, and the Lord brought me through all that. And, you know, the brethren in Utah were a huge help with that too, being there praying for me, just being, you know, just being able to have that available is just, again, you know, I know I didn't deserve it, and I certainly didn't. There's nothing you can do to deserve God's grace and mercy. I mean, it's just something that is, it's just incredible, and it's hard to even explain, but you know, I just wanted to also kind of give thanks. You know, the Lord brought someone into my life. You know, recently I got married back in August, and you know, it's amazing what the Lord does, because He brings people into our lives for a reason, and. It's the Lord doing it. It's not us. It's not the people that He brings along. Even though I'm thankful for them, it's the Lord in them. It's not the people in their flesh. You know, it's the Lord in them. And that's what we all should be desiring, is the Lord in us. Because without the Lord in us, we can't see Him. We're not going to be with Him for eternity. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. And so anyway, I just wanted to thank the Lord for bringing... You know, my wife Michelle along. I know that, you know, we've both been kind of, I mean, we've both been kind of working things out. He's using us both to kind of work things out of each other. We've, you know, gone through some, you know, trials, but I of course have brought much, much more trials upon her than she's probably brought along, you know, to me. But, you know, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that, you know, He brought her along and He used her to, and she just has a love for the Lord and just a holiness, a desire for holiness, and it kind of just showed me, taught me a lot. And so, anyway, I thank him for that, and I'm just thankful for Michelle and just being there, and I know we're growing in the Lord, and I'm just thankful for that, and he's been doing so much in the last few months. There's just a lot of things that I know with me that I've just seen tremendous growth and areas, and again, like I said, just he's been showing me things about love, about loving him, about going to him personally, about praying for the brethren, and not just praying like a prayer like, oh, please bless these people. I mean, going and just and praying, just earnestly, just having a love for the brethren, like it talks about in Hebrews, and just, I mean, without love, of course, we are a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I mean, we need to have love in our hearts and just love the brethren and love, those around us. I mean, just to show that love, and that's so important. And I'm really starting to understand what that means. I mean, I always heard that, but I think the Lord's finally getting through so much stuff that he can finally teach me and really show me what that is. And I'm thankful that every day I'm just growing in that, because that's something I do want to grow in. I just want to be, have that flesh be completely dead and just and have that pure love for the Lord and the pure love for the brethren and those that are around me. And so, anyway, I'm just thankful for that. And the Lord's been doing little things too to kind of, as I'm getting battered around and going through all these things, he's been giving me also little signs. One thing he's been giving me is a lot of 144s. I see a lot of those. I mean, a ton. And
me too, Michael. I keep seeing them every day.
And it's interesting because I talk to a lot of the brethren and a lot of believers, and they say the same thing, that they see those kind of numbers, and it's amazing, because matter of fact, one just recently he woke me up, and most people say, well, I wake up all the time, all through the night, but I normally will sleep, and this is a blessing from the Lord, but I normally will sleep. When I go to bed, I'll sleep pretty much all through the night, unless he wakes me up for a specific reason, and I'll know it, and he'll give me a sign. Usually it'll be a certain time on the clock, or there'll be something. One time he woke me up, and I just happened to turn on my shortwave radio, and it was a Christian broadcasting program. It was a testimony that I needed, and it was amazing, but he always has a reason behind it. So I knew, he woke me up, and I looked over at my clock, and it was 1:44 in the morning. And so I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And I thanked him. And anyway, I went back to bed, and he woke me up again, and it was 4:41. And I looked on the clock, and I saw 1:44 backwards. So anyway, it was...
Well, that happened to me just a few days ago, Michael. I woke up in the morning. From the angle I was looking at the clock, the first number closest to me was 1, and then 4, and then 4. It was actually 4:41, but I looked at it and recognized it immediately. Oh yeah, you're doing it to me again, Lord. Okay.
that's exactly what happened to me. I woke up and I looked at it, and I just saw it as 1:44, even though. But then when I thought about it, I kind of cleared my mind, and I was like, oh, it's 4:41. But then I thought, wow, you just woke me up with the 1:44 earlier. So, and that just happened to me. Actually, it was just a few days ago that happened. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it just things like that. On our trip here, we've been seeing a lot of 144s, and just in different places. Matter of fact, when we exited the freeway to come to Sonny's yesterday, the car in front of us at the stop sign had 144 in their license plate. So it's like, and then I did have one thing that I kind of want to share that I thought was really neat. Recently, I go into nursing homes a lot because of my job, and anyway, I've been kind of practicing as I go in there on just binding spirits, because I know that we're not subject to those spirits. We're not walking in any, willful disobedience. They don't have a right to be, affecting us in our life. We have command. We have the power. We've been given the power by Christ to command these spirits and authority over them. And so, there's been some spirits in these homes that I've run across, and there was one in particular where this man was standing up at this nursing station, and he was getting very agitated and angry, and just started saying a lot of things that I knew was inappropriate, and just saying a lot of words that I didn't want to hear. And so I just commanded those spirits. I just bound them in Jesus' name. I said, you know, I didn't say it out loud, you know, but I just spoke it, you know, with authority. And he just all of a sudden calmed down, and actually started apologizing to that nurse and said, I'm sorry. And, you know, just got very meek and very humble. And I was like, wow. And that was exciting. And then, you know, just right after that, this social worker that I guess earlier he had been really mean to, he apologized to her, and he was like, you know, started, you know, apologized and said, I'm sorry to her. But as soon as he was done doing that, I was kind of off minding my own business, doing my work, and he walked straight over to me, and he says, can I show you something? And I'd never seen this man before. This wasn't someone that knew me. And I wasn't talking to him or anything earlier, and he just walked up to me. He took me to his room, and the room number was 144. It was the number of his room. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord. You know, I was like, wow. And so anyway, and you know, of course, I also, you know, I just felt led to pray for him. And then it was really a blessing. I mean, it was just, awesome, because right at that time, again, the Lord had been just working on me and just showing me a lot of things. And, you know, about, you know, what's in my heart, and just get, you know, just going, coming to him and just being, you know, just diligent. And so anyway, that was just truly a blessing. And like I said, there's just a lot of things going on with me and, you know, my wife, and just, you know, just really working in us, and in the fellowship out in Salt Lake has been a real blessing. We've been, you know, we have another family, the Maxfields, and they've been a real blessing just for us to all get together and fellowship. And we've had other families that have come in, people that have joined in the fellowship. And so I just thank the Lord for that. And just, you know, wherever you're at, you know, it's just having that fellowship is important. And if you don't have anyone around you, just ask the Lord, because that's what I did. I was in Utah, and there was no one there. I didn't know anyone. And I started praying to the Lord. And I think he had me alone there for a while also, because I got into the Word. He was teaching me and showing me things. But then there came a time when I just really needed the fellowship. And I started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, you please bring some along. And soon, right after that, Philip shows up. And then Kevin shows up. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, like the Maxfields, other people started coming into the fellowship. So I thank the Lord. So I know any of you that are out there and you feel kind of alone, I know what you're feeling like. I can feel that, you know, that loneliness too, but you know, the Lord is, I mean, he'll do it. And he's there for you too. I mean, even if there isn't anyone there, I mean, the Lord's there, and that's what's most important. So, again, I just, you know, this trip has been a true blessing. And I come down here just meeting with the brethren here, and also in Dallas. We have a duplication team in Dallas that sends out a lot of discs and things. They're a real blessing, because I just pass on requests to them, and then they send them out, and they work really hard and get those things out. And so it's just been a blessing for us to be able to fellowship with them as well. And we were able to stop in there a couple days ago and have a nice time of fellowship. And the Lord's been blessed our trip the whole time, just giving us good weather, giving us, you know, just a good fellowship and love from the brethren. And here, you know, there's so many just brethren here in Pensacola too that love the Lord and just want to serve Him. And so it's truly just a blessing to be able to meet. And I'm not someone in the flesh. In the past, it was always hard for me to get to know people, and just very, you know. And so it's really neat to be able to meet people and just feel that love, because then you feel just a part of it right off, you know, right at first. It's not like the world where you meet people and there's always those clashes and personalities going on, and there's no spirit flowing, and you know, and you know, I know we still at times have to deal with that, you know, until we get more of Jesus in us and start living more by the Spirit, but still, it's a lot different. I mean, I'm really blessed, and I'm just thank the Lord for being a part of you know, the ministry, and just, which is all about really just getting the word out. It's not about lifting any man up or putting anyone above the Lord. It's all about the Lord, just getting the truth out there. And so I'm just thankful to be a part of that.
Amen. You know, there must be an awful lot of people out there that don't know they're being used by evil spirits, you know. when Michael bound that man from doing what he was doing, he suddenly realized, you know, he had done something wrong. And, you know, people think that that's them. They think that's a part of their nature. They don't realize they're being used by demons. And sometimes you can be the one to help them to see that, you know, by binding those spirits. Thank you, Father. And, you know, both Michael and Philip spoke about going through a time of legalism. And I guarantee you there's some people out there listening that are going through that. And I want to tell you that the problem about legalism is it's very tiring, because you're attempting to be good enough to be pleasing unto God. You know, the power of the law is self. That's why you're getting worn out, you know. But the power of grace is God. That makes it very easy. You know, I mean, when God is moving through you and naturally changing your mind, changing your heart, because you're not because you're doing it, but because you're exercising faith in Him to do it, that's what the Bible calls the rest. You know, the Christian life is the rest. And if you're going back under the law, attempting to be pleasing unto God, that is self-righteousness. That's what the Bible calls it, you know. You realize, Christians, that God never, ever made the law with you. He made that with the Jews. And if you're attempting to go back under the law, keep the letter of the law, then what you're doing is departing from a covenant that God made with you in order to keep a covenant that He didn't make with you, and a covenant that the Bible says passed away in Christ, in 2 Corinthians, right there where we were a while ago. So what you're doing, what it is a trick of the devil to cause you to break your covenant with God and seek to have a position in God because of self-righteousness. That's what it is. But when you understand grace, and when you understand that the Lord has already given you His life and His nature and His works, and the only thing you have to do, according to the Apostle Paul, to enter into those works is believe in Him. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, "What must we do the works of God?" And He said, "Believe on Him whom He has sent." That's it, folks. You believe on what Jesus said He did for you, and you believe on what the Scripture says you are in Christ, and God will do the rest. He will change your nature. He will change your life. You won't be judging everyone like those under the law do. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, it's a constant fear of a God that's not the God of love. And He's not the God that we call Father. That relationship with God that was spoken about a while ago is knowing Him as Father. This is totally different, folks. That other God, by the way, the law came in until the seed should come to whom the promise is due, Galatians 3 says. It was a meantime thing to keep people from being lawless. It really failed in that regard because, as we say, the power of the law is self. And if self could be holy, you wouldn't have needed Jesus to come. The problem is self is fallen. Self is a sinner. Self has to die. The one who dies is rarely going to give up his life, you know. The point is that the Lord gives us His life freely. He gives us His death freely, too. I'm talking about death to self, you know. But He does it through your faith in Him, not your faith in you. And praise God for that. I see Kevin's grabbed up the mic over there. You ready, Kevin? Kevin Ray is producing our Unleavened Bread Bible Studies. And it's a lot of hard work, but he's doing a wonderful job. He really makes me look good sometimes. Cuts out all my bobos and our bloopers, right?
Well, we got a blooper reel on the way, so.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, praise God. Hello, saints. really, it's a wonderful opportunity to be down here in Pensacola. It was kind of nice. Philip and Michael went ahead of me so I can use a little bit of their testimony, because it really comes in line a lot with just the amazing stuff God's been doing. And even on this trip, you know, Michael talked about rest. And I remember when my wife Holly and I, Holly helps us with the videos, by the way. She looks for my mistakes on the edits and then passes them back to me. So, and if I get, you know, a low enough mistake, she'll give me a happy face on my little review card. So, a little reward there. But she works real hard to help us try to alleviate any kind of scriptural mistakes, or, hey, put a scripture there or things like that. So I just want to just thank her so much. And it's such a blessing to have a wonderful wife and help meet like Holly, and who the Lord brought to me, just like the Lord brought Michelle and to Michael and Sila to Philip. So really blessed in that sense. But talking about the rest, we have a similar thing, and we came out of certain types of legalism. You look in the Bible and you kind of look in the letter, and the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And but until you get that revelation, you just want to be obedient to the Lord, and to James 4:17 talks about, to him to know what to do good and do to not to him to sin. So, you know, you believe you're doing the things that you, you know, for the Lord, you're doing the right and so forth. But, excuse me, there's a burden on that, and bondage. I could just tell you real quickly, when Holly and I were doing the tithe, the 10%, because when we came to the kingdom, the guy that brought us in the kingdom taught us to tithe. And I just always felt a burden with that. I just felt it was just something not right about that. And it was just, I can't explain it. But when we got the revelation that it's all his, and that he owns everything, and we're no longer owners but stewards of the Lord's money and everything he has, we stopped tithing. And then I felt a huge burden lift. I felt a huge weight lift off me. And he did the same thing with Bible translations and so forth. And
you didn't stop giving, you just stopped tithing.
That's right. That's right.
There's a difference.
There's a difference, yes.
Given according to the Spirit or given according to the law.
Yes, and you got
difference.
Exactly. And we got a lot more joy out of giving to where the Lord wanted his money to go. And and in a lot of respects, it was much more than you know you would have when you just tithed 10%. So, but it really, we're able to see the blessings on people and see God move there. So it seemed it was a process for us to come out of that. And the same thing with Bible translations and just different things that would try to separate us from other brethren, and to learn how grace came in and to rest. So just to speak about the rest a little bit, my wife and I were in New Mexico for a while, in the middle of the desert in Silver City, New Mexico. And I asked the Lord a rhetorical question one time. I said, Lord, why are we out here? And he gave me the scripture where Jesus tells his disciples, go into the desert and rest a while. So I did one of the things where I opened the Bible up and put my finger down. I said, okay, he's teaching me how to rest. And so, you know, that's a process of entering into the rest daily. And so we started learning how to rest in New Mexico. And and we took a trip up to Utah. We found out these folks, the Pal Talk, and this was after we met David and the brethren here in UVM. And we found out about some other brethren that were up in Utah that were on Pal Talk. As you guys know, listen on Pal Talk. It's a great way that the Lord uses to network his people. And so we went up to Utah and for a visit, and had a wonderful time, and started driving back to Utah. And about this time, I've already been working with David, talking about video production, doing video editing. That they were doing recordings in the living room here, and about video editing. So we were talking about those things, and lo and behold, they didn't know the Lord was setting up a full video production and distribution kind of team up in Utah. Michael was already up in Utah doing distribution and doing lots of stuff, and he was doing some editing too of the videos of the Hidden Manna tour. And so as we're driving back from Utah, I had a feeling the Lord was going to move us, and I thought it was to Pensacola. And I told Dave that. I thought, well, I think the Lord's going to move us. And so on the way back from Utah, I had, you know, just kind of put the thought in my head about moving to Utah. I said, Lord, you want us to move to Utah? I said, well, okay, if so, you know, show me all these signs, open all these doors. And then as soon as we got back, everything, the floodgate of signs and confirmations came. And within about 2-3 weeks, we were in Utah. But what was neat about that was that there was an apartment that was that came open right next to Philip and Sela Sapp's, their apartment. And people were looking for it. They were wanting to get in the apartment, but God was holding the landlord in his heart. So he opened that up. So now we moved in, and we were right next to Philip and Sela. And so that was great. We got to start fellowshipping. But then, lo and behold, soon after that, we put up a network cable between Philip's apartment and my apartment, and then we started working together on some of the video stuff, formatting. So it's really neat to see how God knows the end from the beginning, and he works in you to do his good will and pleasure in any given time. And one of the lessons to really be learned about seeing 144s, 11s, and 333s, 555s, is that the Lord at any time, he can take over. He can take your eyes at the point of that clock. And, you know, it's really reassuring to know that he's really in charge. You know, he's sovereign. So, and to speak to that, we did see, I think, we started counting. I think we saw about 10 or 11 144s the first day up. And then yesterday we saw 12. And so the Lord's speaking. So, at any rate,
what's neat is when you're not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden your eyes are directed in this direction, and there it is. You know, it's kind of like when I do my walks. Sometimes I've had a personal thing with me and Jesus. You know, they say if you find a penny, that's your lucky day. You know, well, I don't believe in luck, but every time I walk, I just happen to look down. There's a penny. And I'll look over here, and there's a penny, you know, and it's sometimes even a quarter. But but anyway, I think, you know, God, I just think about that. I think, wow, that shows the sovereignty of God so much that you don't even know he's in you. He's directing your head. He's directing your thoughts. He's directing your eyes. He can cause you to look at the at the alarm at the exact time, you know, the clock at the exact time, and it's just awesome to know the sovereignty of God through that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, no, amen. Praise God. Amen. And I remember talking to you about the 144 one time in particular. What does that mean? Revelation 14:4 talks about the overcomers, one of the two 144 companies, but it also talks about overcomers, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to David one day. I said, I had 14 one day, and this was a while back, and I called David. I said, what's going on here? And I had something in my spirit already where I thought the Lord was speaking to me. And, you know, like as a lot of you know, the Lord will speak to you, and then he'll confirm it through somebody else, you know, and that kind of really puts a wonderful seal on it. And he said, well, you know, the Lord's telling you you're overcoming, and that's good, you know, overcoming things. And so by the grace of God, you know, so we started counting 144s, and again we weren't necessarily looking for them. Our eyes were being drawn. There's a 144 mile marker in Wyoming, and there's one in Colorado, and you know. But one thing that happened to me not too long ago was an alarm clock issue on my cell phone. We have the clock on there, and one time I went to bed, and next thing you know, my alarm clock is ringing at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, who's calling me at 4 a.m? So I get up, and I was wide awake, and I said, the Lord's doing this, you know. And so I heard him. He said, look at it. And I looked at it. I picked it up upside down. It was 4:41, but I read it the way I read it. It was 1:44, and I just started laughing, you know, just joying with my Father, you know. And it's just, you know, he just spoke to me. I just wanted to let you know I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there.
Yes, and he's there.
You know, and so it's really wonderful. So I know a lot of you are seeing numbers out there and so forth. So it's just neat to see that God can just take over at any given time and show you he's there. So, but I had a, I'm not going to get into my full testimony, but I just had something that was similar that happened to Philip. And every time I hear Philip's testimony, I'm really choked up because I kind of experienced something similar to hell prior to being born again. When I was coming back, I guess I was saying, when I got to the point where I had achieved all these milestones in the world, a career, and all these wonderful mountains, but I was always empty, the Lord started working on my heart and drawing me. Nobody comes to the Father or the Son except the Father draws him. So he started drawing me in June of 2001. And, you know, I had been a Catholic before, you know, not a good Catholic, I guess. I didn't do things a lot in the Catholic Church. But I had proposed to my now wife, Holly, who was Catholic. So we figured, you know, we better better get right with God. We've got to go back to the church. So I go back to the church. And at any rate, as we're going through the this thing called the Rite of Catholic Initiation, where they teach you how to be Catholic and learn the sacraments and all that, I would say about soon after we got married, and I had moved from my apartment into her condo, and I had a, well, I hope people in Columbus, I don't know if you listen or not, but Columbus, Ohio, but I was living in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and I had a vision. Holly and I were coming down the outer belt, I-270 on the east side, and coming around to the airport to our exit. We lived just outside the outer belt, and I got off on the exit, and all the lights went out. All the lights in the city, all the lights in the airport, everything. And I just stopped there, and I have a military background, and so the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to my spirit. He said one word. He said EMP, and that's electromagnetic pulse, for any of you that don't know what that means. And that's basically prior to a nuclear launch, maybe by the Soviet Union or whoever, they would typically explode a nuke, a high-yield nuke, high above a city, and take out all the electronics, take out all the electricity. So when he said that, I said, oh, boy. And I put the gas down on the car to try to outrun this nuke. And sure enough, as I'm driving away, I look in my rearview mirror, and the nuke goes off in Columbus at the airport, I think it was. I saw the flash, and I made it to the first stoplight. I felt the nuclear blast pick up the car. Okay, and Holly was next to me, and I reached out to grab her to try to get her, and she just disappeared. And then I fell into that darkness that you experienced. And this total separation from God, and it was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. I woke up screaming, hollering. Holly didn't know what was wrong with me, but it was terrifying. And so, I mean, every time I hear Philip's testimony about that, it reminds me of that. So what was God doing? Well, he was getting my attention. He was getting my attention. So
In other words, he was saying, as religious as you were, you still didn't know him.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And as I was going back through the Rite of Catholic Initiation for adults, I don't know, when I started the thing, I said, Lord, I said, God, you know, for real. I said, if I've ever done anything, I've always wanted to do it, you know, all the way, you know, full throttle. I said, look, I want the truth. I don't want to be lied to, because I saw a lot of hypocrisy. And he honored that prayer. He really honored that prayer. So next thing you know, to RCI classes, they gave us Bibles, which, you know, as a Catholic, you don't usually get a lot of Bible study. But they gave us Bibles, and I was in the back always asking questions. You know, how come it says here we're doing this? And I became a thorn in their flesh, I guess. And so they decided to assign a priest to me to answer my questions. So he sat by me. I had my wife Holly join me because she was already confirmed. And so here I am with Holly on the left side, a priest on the right side, and he couldn't answer my questions. So I said, ain't something ain't right here. I don't know. Something's not right. So 3 weeks before my confirmation, and that nuclear blast vision I had was prior to that, but around, I'd say, in March of 02, February of 02, I think, maybe, they sat us down and I said, okay, here's a profession of faith. We want you to memorize it. And basically said, I believe and profess all the Holy Roman Catholic Church says to be Word of God, period. There's nothing about Christ. And so I said, wow, that's interesting. As soon as that happened, the Lord turned the volume down in the room and walked in my spirit. And I just heard these words. He said, come out of her. And I couldn't move. And I looked at my wife. I was probably very, very pale, and I said, I can't be confirmed. I have to leave this church. So nonetheless, I'd say about a couple of weeks later, well, actually, that was the last meeting. That was the last time I stepped to the door, because the Lord says, jump, you jump, sir, how high, you know. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, it was grace, you know, it was drawing me. But right then and there, he said, this is where I want you, you know. So what do we do now? And the Lord started playing a video that we'd watched in the Prophecy Club of a speaker pointing at the camera with a Bible in his hand and said, you must be born again. You must be born again to enter the kingdom. So like, I guess we got to be born again. So how we do this? So I said, well, let's call that guy up on the video. You know, he doesn't know us from Adam. So, you know, I know a little way around the internet, so I found out his number, and we called him up, and he said, sir, he said, well, you don't know us from Adam, but we came out of the Catholic Church, and we want to be saved, and sorry to bother you, it's so late, you know, and so he started rejoicing over the phone, because the Lord told him that somebody was going to call today and get saved. So, you know, so anyway, my wife and I came to the Lord, we got on our knees, and, you know, repented and just asked the Lord to guide and direct us to be our Lord. And boy, the peace, you know the peace, that wonderful feeling you get. It was wonderful. Went to bed just on cloud nine. But then I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and I won't be trying not to be graphic about this, but I woke up with my 9mm Beretta in my mouth, cock loaded, chambered off, round in the cylinder, in my mouth, and I was like this, and I woke up, and I felt.
And it was your finger on the trigger.
My finger on the trigger.
What a way to wake up, man.
Yeah, it was. So I woke up very quickly, but then I felt these demons all around me, and this is what came to me was the bulls of Bashan came to me for some reason, just nipping by. Do it, do it, do it, and I said, Jesus! And I just cried out to him, and it was like they all fled like cockroaches, and they just fled, and I. Took the gun out of my mouth, uncocked it. I mean, I had pressure on the trigger, and it could have gone any. And I took it out, dechambered around, put my Beretta down. And this is kind of weird, you know. When you come close to death, sometimes the weird things come in your mind. You've probably heard stories of that. Why did he think that? Why? Well, what came to my mind was, I'm on the right path. Yeah. That was the devil. He just tried to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't tell too many people. But
how many people have passed away like that? You know,
right? But
nobody knew.
Nobody knew. But you know what had happened was the devil wanted to take me out right at the gate, and the fight was right inside the door, and I wasn't prepared. But the Lord was there for me. He was there, and I cried out to him, and he saved me. I wouldn't be here today speaking. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I didn't tell my wife about that. I know she's listening now. Hey, Holly. I didn't tell her about that for months. But, you know, and then the Lord started really dealing with me. I know I've talked a little bit on the study before about patriotic spirit and coming out of that and ex-military. And, you know, for a while I had weapons. You know, I had taken an oath as an officer to defend the country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the Lord had grace on me, and through that grace, maybe realize that if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. And here's your choice, son. If you want to do that, that's how you're going to die. And so he gave me the grace and got rid of all my weapons and so forth. And then soon after that, the Lord confirmed it through UBM and the ministry and the scriptures and so forth. And so I was delivered of that patriotic spirit and realized that, you know, my kingdom's not of this world. You know, I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm obey all the laws of the land for the Lord's sake, like Paul was a Roman citizen, you know, but he wasn't of the world. So, I mean, it's only by the grace of God that we go through these things. But, you know, how can we give away something if we haven't received it? You know, when we go through things like that, like Philip's testimony, Michael's testimony, and others, you know, they overcame him by their testimony, right, in the blood of the Lamb. And so that speaks to people that are going through similar things. You know, you've been there, you've done that. And, you know, I just want to praise God for that, because I know that all the things that He does, He works for our good. You know, and even the rough stuff. I mean, real Christianity is rough. It's a narrow gate, but there's no other way. He has the words of life. Where shall we go? So it's been just a wonderful blessing in that regard, and coming into UBM and doing the teaching, doing the video editing, and working with Philip and Michael and Holly and Michelle and the wonderful fellowship that's going on up in Utah right now with the Maxfields and Suwanee Guzman and the Hernandez and Bruce and other people that are coming in. We're noticing. This is interesting. We're noticing people are getting fed up with the religious system. They're seeing something wrong with it. And they're coming out. They're coming out of mama. They're coming out of mother. Yeah, coming out of mother. And they're coming in and they're like, wow, you know, the Lord showed me that tithing is this. And we're right there ready to help them out and say, well, yes, that's true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so more and more are coming out. We're seeing this, our fellowship grow in Utah, in the Eagle's Nest, this as Gerard calls, and want to pray and praise God for Gerard, who calls when the Lord puts it on his heart, and it is at the exact time, you know, because we're all the same body. If one body part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And when I'm hurting, God usually has that man call, or David will call, or somebody else will call, Philip or Michael or whoever. It's right at the right time I need it. You know, it's just so awesome to see His sovereignty in that. And our, you know, brethren in Dallas, Fort Worth, Ellie Kelly, Matt, and Daniel, and Tony, and Marshall Steele in New Mexico. It's just Chad Ryle in Dakota, and Garrett, and Brad, and it's everybody, you know, that's just God's knitting us together, you know. And it's just wonderful to see, and I'm just humbled by it. It's just an awesome thing to see happen, so. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about real quick, so, was something that happened recently. We had a prayer request for a woman, Ruth, a Hispanic woman who didn't speak English not too long ago. We put in a prayer request, and you all prayed in agreement. And I just wanted to give a little bit more details about what happened there. Swanee Guzman knows this woman. Her name's Ruth, and she supposedly at the time the doctors were giving her the bad report and telling her that her baby was malformed, deformed cleft palate, I think is what it is. And so this woman had faith. She says, "I know that, you know, if God wants that baby to come out the way that is," then she didn't understand that part of it, but basically. She knew that God could heal her baby, and if not, then so be it. But she wasn't going to kill her baby because the physicians and the nurses were, well, one option is to abort your baby at 3 months. And she says, that's not an option. And certainly it's not an option. But so she heard about our fellowship, I guess, somehow through Swanee and faith and healing and about the testimonies and UBM and wanted us to come up. And so we were blessed to go up there. Holly and I went up there on a Wednesday, and Ruth was in the kitchen, and we started going over scriptures. Now, it was a little bit of obviously a language barrier. I don't know Spanish, but Swanee knows very fluent in Spanish. So it was a wonderful blessing there. But we started going through the scriptures and showing her, you know, about faith and that she was healed at the cross and this, basically through the steps. And on the way up, I thought, well, Lord, you know, we're going to pray for this woman. We're going to see a wonderful miracle, but I have a feeling this woman's going to get saved today. And I know that you talked about sometimes the Lord will use situations like that to get, you know, to help people get saved, you know, a miracle and so forth. And that's exactly what happened, because as we're going through scripture, you could just see the light bulb go on. You could see the epiphany in her, and just see her. And so this is how the Lord led to do it. Holly and I laid hands on her, and I had Swanee lay hands on her stomach. And she prayed over that baby, and the Holy Spirit fell. And Swanee felt the power of God come down through her arms, and I felt it too. You felt it. You all felt it. And that baby leaped in her womb. Mm-hmm. She knew that baby got healed right there.
Mm-hmm.
And she got filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you know, John the Baptist, you know, with Elizabeth. Yeah. And we told her, we showed her the scripture that, and she was rejoicing in it. So anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing to see God move like that. So at any rate, I wanted to share that, and just wanted to thank God for the grace and what He's doing in all the fellowships out there that are listening. That he'll continue to do the good work. It'll finish the good work. We have the rock to stand on. And it was interesting. I was fellowship with Frank Thornton not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, so many people say they're hanging on. He goes, don't hang on. Get on. Get on the rock. Don't hang on the rock. Get on the rock. And I thought that was really, you know, a very good perspective on, okay, now we'll stand on the rock. And I just want to thank the Lord, too, for this trip. And it's really drawn us closer together. We're learning a lot about up in Utah about spiritual warfare. We're learning a lot about love, learn a lot about forgiveness, about, you know, just standing on the scriptures, because the scriptures are our final authority in all things. So
amen.
Anyway, praise God.
Praise God.